सो वी रीडिंग 7:5:35. अयम मे भ्रातृ हासोयम हित्वा स्वान सुहृदो धमः पितृव्य हन्तु हन्तुः पादौ यो विष्णोर् दासवत् अर्चति. सो हियर इट इज सेड, दिस बॉय प्रह्लाद इज द किलर ऑफ माय ब्रदर. सो हूम इज हिरण्यकशिपु टॉकिंग टू? So Prahlad gave wonderful answers when Hiranyakashipu asked that what is the best thing that you have learned. Now hearing that, Hiranyakashipu was so pleased that he threw him down. He threw him down off the lap and he ordered the soldiers that kill him. And to those soldiers, you know, the Hiranyakashipu is giving encouragement, because the soldiers might take a step back thinking, oh no, he's Rajaputra, how can we kill him? To encourage the soldiers, no, you can kill, it's my order. No. Our Hiranyakashipu, very dear, you know, he's speaking all this. He's saying that this boy Prahlad is the killer of my brother, for he has given up his family to engage in the devotional service of the enemy, Lord Vishnu, like a menial servant. Purport: Hiranyakashipu considered his son Prahlad Maharaj to be the killer of his brother because Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in devotional service of Lord Vishnu. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj would be elevated to Sarupya liberation, and in that sense, he resembled Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Prahlad was to be killed by Hiranyakashipu. Devotees, Vaishnavas, attained the liberations of Sarupya, Salokya, Sarshti, and Samipya, whereas the Mayavadis are supposed to attain the liberation known as Sayujya. Sayujya Mukti, however, is not very secure, whereas Sarupya, Salokya, Sarshti, and Samipya Mukti are most certain. Although the servants of Lord Vishnu, Narayan, in the Vaikuntha planets are equally situated with the Lord, the devotees there know very well that the Lord is the master, whereas they are the servants. So here, the points which are mentioned is about, since Prahlad Maharaj was doing devotional service, he was equated not to Vishnu himself. So he's saying that he is the killer of my brother, but he didn't kill. Now, who killed? Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha. So Prahlad Maharaj is a small boy, 5 years old boy. He didn't kill. But then here we understand that anyone who is devotional, is doing devotional service, that person is equated not to the level of Vishnu, not just by devotees, even by Hiranyakashipus. I mean the non-devotees. So in this way we see that anyone who is around us, who is chanting the holy names of the Lord, be it our kids, spouse, friends, colleagues, or whatever, wherever we are staying, they all are very special. And this has to be understood very clearly. Because, see, anyone who has started devotional service, it means one or the other day that person will reach the destination. One or the other day or month or year or lifetime. But surely he'll reach the destination because he has started. See, to start, that is very, very important. See, what do we do in book distribution? We try helping people to start their devotional service. Some devotees are like, okay, touch Bhagavad Gita, touch Bhagavad Gita. And the new person is like going crazy. No, I'll not touch. So what does the devotee wants to do? When he's touching the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that when we touch the holy scriptures, when we hear the holy name, many, many, many sins of past lives, they'll get burnt completely. And the person will get Sukriti, the spiritual punya. That's what devotees want to do. During Rath Yatra, Rath is going like this and devotees are taking the rope like this towards the footpath. Touch the rope. It is said anyone who touches the rope of Lord Jagannath's Rath, now for him the doors of Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha is open. So devotees forcefully want to send everyone to Goloka Vrindavan. It doesn't matter if they go or not go, but they want to send everyone else. Yes. So the point that is made is, devotees are always special. This is a very, very important meditation that we need to have. Doesn't matter how that devotee is. Is that devotee doing intense devotional service? Is that devotee doing lots of services? Is that devotee getting up early in the morning? Is that devotee speaking nicely or not? That is not our business. Krishna and that devotee, both of them know what it is. About us, it should be something else. About us, for us, if Hiranyakashipu can consider Prahlad as Vishnu, why can't we give the respect to devotees like Vishnu, like the way we give it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So this point of giving respect to devotees is very, very important. Doesn't matter, senior, junior, equal, hardly matters. In fact, a person who is junior to us or equal to us might be very, very senior, you know, in the past life. And just as of now, he's junior or equal. With time, you never know, you know, he might jump, you know, and attain Krishna before us. And he might show us, still you're here. So we never know who is senior and who is junior. That's all, you know, just by ears we cannot make out. Just by ears we cannot make out, you know. So this point is very important, you know, especially when it comes to kids, you know, parents have to be very much aware, you know, especially you people. You people are devotees, and then Lord will send a devotee child in the womb of a devotee, and that is there. So I always feel that your kids are Vaikuntha kids. Obviously, they might behave sometimes like demons, but so, but still they are Vaikuntha kids. Because right from childhood, not even a single grain of non-prasadam stuff they have had. Such a glorious thing. And we have eaten, you know, all garbage, and then we have come to Krishna consciousness, and now we have to try to cleanse ourselves by this Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya and then chanting and this and that. So the point that I'm trying to make is, anyone who has kickstarted bhakti, one or the other lifetime, they will reach Krishna. As of now, whom we call our equals as juniors or whatever, so all of them, we never know what is their background in the past, where they were. And now, currently, they might be with us or lower to us. But with time, we never know how fast they will progress. So this point has to be meditated on. Very, very important. And what destination do devotees get? You know, here Prabhupada is saying, Sarupya, Sarshti, Salokya, Samipya Mukti. Now, these four muktis are glorious. Sarupya. Sarupya means getting the same form as that of the Lord. Now, same form means four-handed form. We're talking about Vaikuntha. Now, getting four-handed form. Like the devotee who perfects his life at the time of death. Now, he looks, Are, do aur aa gaye. And he is also holding Shankachakra Gada Padma. In fact, the Vishnu Dutas who come to take, you know, the devotee, even they have four hands and they also have Shankachakra Gada Padma. So now the question is, kitna confusion hota rahega na Vaikuntha mein. They'll not understand only who is Vishnu and who is not. It's not like that. No, they will understand who is Vishnu, because finally he is their heart and soul, right? Their loved one. So they know who is who. And also Vishnu, for safety purpose, he has got, you know, two or more symbols on his body which others don't have, like the Srivatsa mark. So there is a white curly hair on the chest of the Lord, so where Lakshmi Devi resides. Then Kaustubha gem. Now, so these two are something which is unique. There might be other things also which might be unique, but what I have read is these two in the Shastra. So these two, you know, are there, and then we can make out, okay, Srivatsa, this is Vishnu. This is Vishnu. So like this, Sarupya Mukti. Can you imagine a devotee sitting beside you today to hear this class might attain a 400 form? You never know. Shankar Chakra Gada Padma, with same Gada, he'll hit you one day. If you don't treat him properly. Sarupya Mukti. Second is Sarshti. Sarshti means getting the same opulence that of the Lord. Can you imagine getting the same opulence that of the Lord? Sahasra Lakshmi Shata Sambrama Sevya Manam. The Lord Vishnu is served by Sahasra Lakshmi. It means the Sahasra Lakshmis, you know, in the Vaikuntha planets. Similar opulence the devotee will get. So maybe now a devotee might be a pauper, a beggar. His status might not be that great, but he might be an intense devotee, you know, intensely aspiring to attain Krishna this very lifetime. And at the end of life, he attains Krishna, and then his bank balance is more than yours. So just imagine, Sarshti, same opulence. Samipya. Samipya means serving the Lord, you know, being very, very close to the Lord, always being close to the Lord. Now, doing some service, you know, personally, you know, to the Lord, being very, very close. That is Samipya Bhakti. When Gajendra and the crocodile, when they were liberated, so it is said, I've heard from a devotee. So what happened is, Lord Vishnu came on Garuda to deliver Gajendra. So Gajendra was caught by the crocodile, and Gajendra was fighting for many celestial years. And finally, Gajendra surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saying, "Humse na ho payega." आप ही बचा लीजिए, नो प्लीज हेल्प मी. एंड देन ही चैंट्स वेरियस वंडरफुल प्रेयर्स व्हिच आर कॉल्ड एज गजेंद्र मोक्ष प्रेयर्स, वेरी वेरी नाइस प्रेयर्स. इफ वी गेट टाइम वी कैन गो थ्रू दोस प्रेयर्स. एंड देन लॉर्ड नारायण ही कम्स यू नो फ्रॉम हिज अबोर्ड वेरी वेरी फास्ट. He completes his prayers and Narayan is there. If I'm not wrong, there are 29 prayers. So in Sanskrit, it hardly takes some time. You know, say 10 minutes it takes. So immediately, you know, Lord Narayan was there from Vaikuntha planet. And then it is described that Lord Narayan, you know, he released the Sudarshan and then crocodile's head was cut. And then he picked up Gajendra like a baby and things like that. And both of them were delivered. Now, it is described that Lord Vishnu, when he went back to his abode, at that time, there were personalities who were doing chamar to Lakshmi Devi. And Lord Narayan is like, no, who are these two? And Lakshmi Devi is like, same people whom you delivered. So they were having that Samipya Mukti where they were serving the Lord so personally, or Lord's concert so personally. So Salukya, Sarshti, Samipya, and which one is the one? Salukya we discussed? No, Salukya. Salukya is going to the same abode where the Lord is living. Or where the Lord, living is not the right word. Where the Lord is doing his pastimes. Going to the same abode, that is Vaikuntha or Sri Goloka Vrindavan Dham. So these are the four which devotees aspire for. And when it comes to Mayavadis, they just want Sayujya. They want merging. Merging in Brahman. That's what they want to do. So, today only I was hearing one class where Shla Guru Maharaj was saying that this Sayujya Mukti is dangerous. Can you imagine? You're nowhere. You enter Brahman and you're lost. There's no identity of yours. It's like suicidal, where you lose your identity completely. But these Mayavadis don't understand about that. They feel that merging in Brahman is very, very nice. So, devotees don't want to do that because devotees want to stay individuals so that they can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. They want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is described that the ones who attain Sayujya Mukti, the ones who merge in Brahman, so what happens is they cannot stay there for a long time. Why? You see, our constitutional position is to serve. Now in Brahman, the living entities are there. They're not able to serve. They're just there. Just imagine just being there, not doing anything. So for how long they can be there? So it is described that patanti adha, they fall down. They fall down from that particular place. And here in this world, they become philanthropists and whatever. So that's what is described in the Shastra. So in this way, we understand that these are the five muktis, out of which four Vaishnavas get. And the fifth one, these Mayavadis get. And most importantly here, Hiranyakashipu is calling Prahlad, as you are the killer of my brother. So he is equating Prahlad to Lord Vishnu. It means the devotees are very, very special. And this is what this verse is talking about. Let's see the next one now. So the next shloka, 36. Although Prahlad is only 5 years old, even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother, therefore he is certainly untrustworthy. Indeed, it is not at all believable that he will behave well towards Vishnu also. Vishnu. So, so very nicely it is given. And this is but natural. See, anyone who does devotional service and his heart is completely filled by Krishna Prema, so he will not have affection for anyone. He will just do things as a duty. He will not get attached to people around. He will be just there with them, just to give them some solace and do his duty. But then internally, he's completely attached to Sri Krishna. Completely attached. So Prahlad Maharaj was on that level. 5-year-old person. Can you imagine 5-year-old boy having such intense mood of devotional service? Only attachment to Krishna in life, no other attachment. 5-year-old boy. And what about us? We are 5 times, 6 times, that's what is our age, or more than that, 7 times, 8 times. So just imagine, where is Prahlad and where are we? When we compare ourselves with these great souls, we understand. Because see, at times, when we say that we are fallen, and it's a devotee jargon where we come together and then we say, Prabhuji, I'm very fallen, Prabhuji, I'm very fallen. I'm worm in the stool. Do we really feel that? We'll be able to feel when we understand what is our level as compared to these great Mahajans, like Prahlad Maharaj, like Dhruv Maharaj. Once we complete Prahlad Charita, we'll go to Dhruv Charita. So Prahlad, so just imagine, when it comes to Prahlad Maharaj, at the age of 5, he has attained Krishna. At the age of 5. If we remember, we have discussed this in the 4th chapter, that how Prahlad Maharaj, you know, would be getting Sakshat Darshan of the Lord, and Prahlad Maharaj would be going crazy, completely dancing sometimes, laughing and crying and rolling on the ground, and chanting loudly, laughing loudly, crying loudly, yelling out, roaring. Mad people. And what is our goal? One day we also want to become mad. Mm-hmm. This madness in Krishna consciousness is very nice. Mm-hmm. See, two people are... it is said that two people are happy in life. One is the person who is ignorant, and second, who is mad. Mm-hmm. So now we cannot be ignorant because we are attending Bhagavatam class. We know the truth of life. But the other thing is, we can become mad. We can become mad for Krishna. All the ones in the past, who have attained Krishna, they have gone mad for Krishna. Completely crazy. All the nuts and screws of the head all become dhila. Nothing is in place. Completely mad. All the time just thinking about Krishna. All the time just thinking how to serve Krishna. All the time getting Sakshat Darshan of the Lord. Preman jana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva rudayesha vilokayanti. Santas sadaiva rudayesha vilokayanti. In their heart, they're always getting Sakshat Darshan of the Lord. Not just, still position like this. All the leelas are manifesting in the heart. They're able to see the unmanifested leelas of the Lord, the nitya leela pastimes of the Lord. And when Prahlad Maharaj would not be able to see his Ishtadev, Lord Shri Krishna, in front of him, he would keep shouting, Krishna kothai, Krishna kothai, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And then he'll faint. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get Sakshat Darshan of the Lord, and then suddenly, Lord will disappear. It's very difficult to understand this particular pastime of the Lord, the Antya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Antya Leela, where Lord Krishna is getting darshan of Lord Krishna. So let's not ponder too much on that. Let's consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a devotee, then we'll understand. So he would take darshan of the Lord, and Lord would disappear, and he would run around like a mad person. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Gaya for the first time, he was completely mad. Completely mad. And Sachi Mata was not understanding. The mother of Lord Chaitanya was not understanding, what's wrong with my boy? Sometimes he cries, sometimes he laughs, sometimes he jumps in the air, sometimes he falls like he splashes on the ground like water. She was not at all understanding, what's wrong with this person. And then she started asking various people that, can you please see what's happened to my boy? And someone would say and come and say that, the life is in his body are disarrayed, looks like. He has gone mad. Then another person would say that, you should dip in Shiva ghee. Complete dip him in Shiva ghee. Apply this oil on his body. Take him here, take him there. So one day, after hearing all this, Masachi Mata was completely troubled, and she called out for Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur came there, and she started talking to Srivas Thakur, and she said, when Srivas Thakur came, he paid obeisance to Tulsi Maharani. Very, very nicely, in the Angan, in the courtyard of Jagannath Mishra, the father of Nimai or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He paid obeisance to Tulsi Maharani with a lot of love and devotion. And seeing that love and devotion which Srivas Thakur manifested, our Nimai, our Gauranga, our Gaurasundar, he saw that and he went crazy, jumping and rolling and crying and laughing. And at that time, Sachi Mata, she asked Srivas Thakur that, is my son really, he has gone mad? Is there any psychological problem with him? Can you please see, O Srivas, what has happened to my son? And at that time, Srivas Thakur says, he looks at the symptoms on the body of Gauranga, and he says that this is Ashtasattvic Vikar. He has attained the highest stage which devotees aspire to attain. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's asking that, O Srivas, can you please tell me where is Krishna? And at that time, Srivas Thakur, he says, that why are you searching Krishna outside? Krishna is there in your heart. And when Gauranga, he heard this, he started purging his, you know, chest. I want to see Krishna. I want to see Krishna. Literally, blood started coming out. You know, because he started scratching his chest like anything. And Srivas was like, Are, kya bol diya maine? Are, ruk, ruk. Enough, enough. And somehow he pacified. And he spoke something about the Lord. Only mad people can do all this. But this is the truth of life for devotees. That, you know, we have to go mad for Krishna. And how can we go mad? When we stay with mad people, we become mad. So we have to find some mad people like that. And Srila Prabhupada is one of them. If we just hear this personality, you know, nicely, and his disciples nicely, automatically that madness will creep in us also. See, becoming mad for Krishna, this is a very, very highest stage, you know, very, very high level platform where devotees do devotional service. So reaching that stage, you know, is very important. And already the devotees who have reached, they can pull us to that stage. You look at Srila Prabhupada, his entire life was only meant for glorifying Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, bhaktas, you know, like various devotees like Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj, and so many others, which he would glorify, and bhakti. At every place, Prabhupada sets the importance of bhakti. And he'll chastise the ones who blaspheme bhakti, like Mayavadis. You hear in the entire class, somehow he'll get, you know, one topic of Mayavadi, he'll like slap Mayavadis like anything, and then he'll feel satisfied. So this, the point that we are trying to make here is, you know, going mad for Krishna is very important. And Prahlad Maharaj was mad for Krishna right at the age of five. Like I was telling in the last class or before that, I don't know how many years we have more. Today morning, after my chanting, and I just saw the date. It's at 22nd December 2020. And it was like, the year is ending. Here is ending. How did this 2020 go? And I was meditating on that today completely. I was meditating on this point. And just see this, you know, it just went off like this. And where were we? Sitting at home. Throughout the year, and most of the time of the year, we were at home. Completely locked up. We are at home or we are out, you know, engaged in our work. It hardly matters because time will fly with its own pace. And we have very less time. All of us have very less time. All of us are at different stages in devotional service. And our age is different. But it hardly matters because one or the other time, you know, this body will perish completely. So every day when the time is flying, every day, I don't know how, I was just asking in the evening, I don't know how today's day just went off. If we just analyze at night before sleeping, what did I do the entire day? You know, we'll find, it was empty. It was empty. Maybe some office work I did, and maybe I cooked something, and then I did this, I did that, day is over. Yes. So this goes on to say that our life is extremely short. And in this short span of time, we are expected to become mad for Krishna. And it is possible. It's not that it is not possible. Many, many devotees have become mad for Krishna. In ISKCON itself, we see, when I'm saying mad for Krishna, it means they've reached a very high destination or level. Where they're able to serve Krishna every single moment. So they've reached that level. So we can also reach that by our sincerity. You know, like I said at the start of the session, that when we sincerely aspire for something, and when we sincerely practice devotional service, Lord Krishna will sanction that. And Lord Krishna sanctions each and everything that we desire intensely. The material things that we've desired in our life, all the nonsense things that we've desired in our life, Krishna fulfills. Even if in the childhood, if you have desired something, Krishna fulfills. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that Krishna fulfills our material desires. Why will he not fulfill the desire to attain him? Why will he not do that? Only thing that is lacking as of now is sincere desire. Yes. And here we see Prahlad Maharaj Chutku, 5 years boy. He has attained Krishna. If you just analyze, you know, which class he would be now in, if suppose he is the part of Kali Yuga, he would not even get admission in KG section. 5 years. but he has attained Krishna. This is a great inspiration, motivation for devotees, you know, to read about Prahlad. So I took this Prahlad Charita, you know, so that we can go through and feel a bit depressed hearing about Prahlad. So in this way we see that Hiranyakashipu is saying that this 5-year-old Prahlad, he has no attachment for his parents. And I'm sure, oh, this is how demons think, that he doesn't have attachment for me, so he'll not have attachment for Vishnu also. And this is what he's saying. So this is a very, very wrong logic, you know, that he's putting forward. Because demons, all the time, they just are self-centered. If I'm not getting it, others will also not get. That's what is the mood. And that's what they want also. They'll try to pull the leg of people. If I don't get it, even that person shouldn't get it, or something like that. And that's what here we understand in this particular shloka, where Prahlad Maharaj is being nicely glorified, you know, by Hiranyakashipu, where externally it might seem like, you know, these shlokas are chastising and blaspheming Prahlad, but then there's a glorification where it is said that even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother. You can imagine the level that Prahlad Maharaj has reached. The next shloka, it says, although a medicinal herb being born in the forest does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if a limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated so that the rest of the body may live happily. Similarly, even if one's own son is unfavorable, must be rejected, although born of one's own body. So this is how the demons think. Now, very nicely, look at the thought process this person has. Here it is purport. Prabhupada says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all the devotees of the Lord to be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than the tree. In Krishna consciousness from last good number of years, I'm able to digest most of the philosophy except for this line. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi saishnam amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Becoming humbler than the blade of grass and becoming more tolerant than a tree. You know, it's like very high expectation, you know, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is setting. Otherwise, there will always be disturbances to their execution of devotional service. Here is a vivid example of how a devotee is disturbed by a non-devotee, even though the non-devotee is an affectionate father. The material world is such that a non-devotee father becomes an enemy of a devotee son. Having determined to kill even his son, Hiranyakashipu gave the example of amputing a part of one's body that has become septic and therefore injurious to the rest of the body. The same example of the course may also be applied to non-devotees. Chanakya Pandit advises, Teja Durjana Samsargam Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam. Devotees actually serious about advancing in spiritual life should give up the company of non-devotees and always keep company with devotees. To be too attached to material existence is ignorance, because material existence is temporary and miserable. Therefore, devotees who are determined to perform tapasya, penance and austerities to realize the self, and who are determined to become advanced in spiritual consciousness, must give up the company of atheistic non-devotees. Prahlad Maharaj maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, Hiranyakashipu, yet he was tolerant and humble. Hiranyakashipu, however, being a non-devotee, was so polluted that he was even prepared to kill his own son. He justified this by putting forward the logic of amputation. So very clear, you know, here Hiranyakashipu is saying that, kill this boy. There's no use of having a septic part in the body. Just remove that part. Here, Prabhupada is giving the example of Trinadapi Sunichena. So why this mood is very important? Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Saishnu. One should be more humbler than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and then, you know, giving respect to all others and expecting none in return. Why this is very important? See, in our devotional service, what really matters is our consistency. So consistency matters a lot. So we have to be consistent and we have to keep growing in devotional service. Doesn't matter if the growth is small, no problem. No? But still, it should keep growing little. It shouldn't happen that it's going down. So what happens, you know, when we get disturbed by people around? See, people around, they have been sent to purify us. Please understand. It's not that people around us have come to give us enjoyment and happiness. No. People around us are there to purify us nicely. Be it our friend, be it our boss, be it our colleague, be it our spouse, kids, in-laws, whatever. So all the people who are there around, even parents for that matter, siblings, everyone around, they are there for our purification. Some or the other, they'll nicely purify us in some or the other occasion. That is there. In some or the other situation, we nicely purified. So this one point we have to understand is this world is like that. Anityam asukham. Dukkhalayam or Shashvatam. These are the different words that Krishna is using in Bhagavad Gita. So this world is like that. This is a disturbing world. Mm-hmm. And we have chosen this world. Now the thing is, any disturbance comes, if we get disturbed in our devotional service, what will happen is, instead of growing, we will fall down. Slowly and steadily, zoop, we'll fall down. So the important aspect that we need to understand is that there'll be lots of disturbance in life. Sometimes it might be some chaos in the family. Say husband and wife are having fight, or the kid has scored less marks in the exam, and the person didn't get promotion, or if he's a student, then maybe not, he didn't get good marks. Yes, maybe the teacher fought with her husband and she checked the paper. And then maybe he was aspiring for something he didn't get. All these things which are there in material life, ye to hote hi rahega. There's no question of not having this. But the important point is that in all these situations, if the devotee is able to just be tolerant, ki theek hai, abhi ho raha hai, abhi main kya karu? This is just because of my karma from the past. I have to just not tolerate. That's it. I forgot about the health issues. Even the health issues when they come, we have to just tolerate. Why we have to tolerate? Because when we tolerate, what happens? With time, anyways, it will go. With time, anyways, the situation will go. Like, for example, the corona. Initially, it was like, bap re, like corona. It was like people were jumping. Not outside, in the homes only. Yes. Looking at the TV, are itne log mar gaye, itne log ho gaya corona, nahi jana hai bahar, mask and sanitizers and whatnot. Yes, don't touch here, don't touch there, sanitize everything, all that was going on. But look at this situation now, that phase has gone. Now people are okay. People are going to the roadside stalls, the dosa corner and the samosa corner and golgappa corners, removing the mask, eating, putting the mask. They're used to. That phase has gone. Some other phase has come now. Similarly in our life, whatever problems are there, be it in the office, be it at home, be it anywhere for that matter, it will be there for some time. Nothing in this world is permanent. Nothing. But then if we give a lot of importance to that, what will happen is, we will get disturbed. We'll get completely disturbed. And when we get completely disturbed, we will not be able to focus on Krishna. Especially like, for example, when we become angry. I remember this was, January or February or something. I got angry on one devotee, very badly. And after that, it was my deity resting service, here in ISKCON Whitefield. So I got angry on the devotee and I shouted that, why are you doing like this, and et cetera, et cetera. I said, basically that devotee was not practicing bhakti or something was there. And after that, I was not at all able to focus, on the deities. And then I was not able to sing the Vaishnava Bhajan, Radha Krishna, Prana Mora. I was just thinking about, I shouted at him, what he might be going through, what did I do, this, that. And deity resting got over. This entire thought process, deity resting got over completely. And then I realized, my God, this is such a havoc. Such a chaos. We become angry on someone, or we hurt someone, or something like this happens. Now, since we are, devotee species, so what happens is, automatically, we'll start thinking about what the other person might be going through. And once we start getting that thought, then, entire mind will be completely occupied thinking about that person. Instead of thinking about Krishna, we're thinking about, a mortal being of this world. Here, what happens? Our devotional service will get hindered. Sometimes this is there for a few minutes, few hours or weeks and months, and sometimes years also. So just imagine this phase, if someone is there for a few weeks, what will happen to him? All the sadhana that he has done, which he has done to come to a certain level, zop, in no time he'll go down. So when we get disturbed by situations around, you know, our devotional service will get hindered, and instead of progressing high, it will go low. Sometimes, you know, when I counsel the grihastha counselees, you know, so I tell them, both husband and wife, that fight as much as you want, but immediately come back and start talking, and, you know, settle it immediately as fast as possible. If it remains for a long time, not talking for 2 weeks, 3 weeks and things like that, gone completely. The writing on the paper and showing whatever they want to ask and things like that. Or asking the child, one of the youth council was sharing, Prabhuji, my parents are not talking to each other and they have created so much headache for me. Now my father is sitting beside me this side and my mother is sitting here, and my father is telling, tell your mother this, and my mother is telling, tell your father this. This is what is happening in my house. This is all nonsense. We have to settle it immediately, whatever it is, be the fights with the spouses or with the kids or with the colleagues or friends or whatever. Settle it immediately. Sorry. No, we have to tell sorry as fast as possible. Finish it off completely. And be stable, not tolerant. Theek hai, jo hua wo hua. I want Krishna. I don't want to prove my ego in front of this person. What will I get proving my ego in front of this person? No, nothing. Even if I win the ego match which is going on, the ego clash which is going on, what am I going to get at the end of the day? Maybe a little bit of retaliation in the psych, you know, in the mental platform. Oh, I did it. Finally, I punched him very nicely. But then the goal is to attain Krishna. Wo to hua nahi. And we get disturbed. Next day, chanting also affected. Reading, hearing, hua nahi. All this will be a problem. So it is very clear, it is said that anyone who wants to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Krit Kirtanya Sadahari, he should be humbler than the blade of grass. Any person telling anything, Hare Krishna, you are great, I am small. You are Vibhu, I am Anu. No, please allow me. No, I don't want to get into all this. And then Taro Rapi Saishnam, just being tolerant. The person is, you know, giving bad words to us, and we are like, ha, theek hai. No, it's okay. No, you are contaminating your tongue. I don't want to contaminate my consciousness and my tongue by giving back to you again. And giving respect to all others, this is a very, very important thing. Giving respect to all others and expecting none in return. I was meditating on this, how important this is. So, you know, it happens that, you know, one devotee was sharing this. Prabhuji, I just went besides that devotee and the devotee looked at me and I said, Hare Krishna. That person didn't reply, Hare Krishna. How does that really matter? You chanted Hare Krishna. You got the sukriti of chanting. Okay, let that devotee does not chant. What is the problem? So the point is that we have to give respect to all others. That you are a great devotee. You are so dear to Krishna. I am not. I'm far away from Krishna. I'm very, very far away from Krishna. Yes. So with that mood, when we give respect to each and every devotee, what happens when we're not expecting any respect from others? And there'll be times when we will not be given respect. So when they don't give respect, it hardly matters to us. But if we're expecting respect from someone, and if that person doesn't give, we'll become so disturbed. Why the devotee did this? I was good at that with that devotee. All the time I treated him so nicely or treated her so nicely. And today, he didn't look at me. I was just sitting beside. What happens, you know, we start giving lots of importance to these small things, and we get disturbed like anything. And the thing that we have to give importance to, that is bhakti, no, we don't give. So if you remember one statement I had made, that no one in this world deserves our serious attention except Krishna and Guru. No one. No one in this world deserves our serious attention. It's only Krishna and Guru who deserves our serious attention. And we are here only to please Sri Guru and Krishna. We are not here to please anyone else. Let them go wherever they want to. Let them feel whatever they want to feel. No, but no, I want to please Guru and Krishna. So for that, you know, we need to have this mood of Trinadapi Sunichana, being humbler than the blade of grass, Tarorapi Saishnam, being tolerant than a tree, and giving respect to all others and expecting none in return. Then the person will be able to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra constantly, 24/7, which is a very important qualification needed to go back home, back to Godhead. Yes. So I was not giving class to anyone. I was just reminding myself, you know, about all these important aspects. So that's what Prabhupada is talking about. And Prahlad Maharaj did that. Now we'll see in the future shlokas that how Prahlad Maharaj was tolerant, and every single instance he was tolerant, humble. Even when he was addressing his father, you know, he is not angry on his father. He's saying, oh, Suryavarya, oh, best of the demons. Look at the language also. You know, very polite language, which Prahlad Maharaj is using, and respect. See, it's not that Prahlad Maharaj lost the respect for his father. Sometimes, you know, devotees come and ask, Prabhuji, my parents are not favorable in bhakti, not favorable to bhakti. What should I do? Are they like Hiranyakashipu? Have they given supari to someone to kill you? Obviously not. So they're much, much better than Hiranyakashipu. And look at the dealing of Prahlad Maharaj. Even, you know, when we'll see in the 10th chapter or 9th chapter, when Narasimha Devi is asking that, what do you want? No, Prahlad Maharaj is like, you please forgive my father. The person who has tortured him, he's praying for that person. This is the difference between a neophyte and a pure devotee. A neophyte, you know, will try to curse, and a pure devotee will try to pray for that person. So this is the big difference, you know, which is there. So if we really want to come to that stage, you know, somehow, you know, this has to be imbibed, you know, in our day-to-day life. And this is what we see in Prahlad Maharaj. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj was nicely tortured by these harsh words by Hiranyakashipu. And we see, you know, he continues. But Hiranyakashipu, in all these verses, he is giving wonderful philosophy. Now look at this verse now. Just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all the yogis engaged in advancing in spiritual life, this Prahlad, who appears to be a friend, is an enemy because I cannot control him. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sitting or sleeping, must be killed by all means. Hiranyakashipu planned a campaign to kill Prahlad Maharaj. He would kill his son by administering poison to him while he was eating, by making him sit in boiling oil, or by throwing him under the feet of an elephant while he was lying down. Thus, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his innocent child, who was only 5 years old, simply because the boy had become a devotee of the Lord. This is the attitude of non-devotees towards devotees. So here, the first line is very nice in the translation, you see. Just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all the yogis engaged in advancing in spiritual life. So this point, which Hiranyakashipu is making, see the knowledge of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu knows this very well, but then, you know, he's not able to follow. He's telling uncontrolled senses are enemies of these yogis. I mean, basically he's talking about devotees. So when it comes to all of us, uncontrolled senses are really the enemies. You know, we have to find out which sense is becoming uncontrolled. And somehow we should make sure that, you know, we control those senses by getting some higher taste and devotional service. In our Shloka Day series, you know, we are discussing a Stita Pragya section. So there, Lord is very clear in 2nd chapter, 59th Shloka, Param Drishtva. Param Drishtva Nivartate. A person should get higher taste, not to give up the lower ones. So when we get higher taste in Krishna consciousness, and in that purport, Prabhupada is talking about that a devotee who experiences the beauty of Lord Krishna, and I repeat, a devotee who experiences the beauty of Lord Krishna will give up all the lower taste. Now, this is very, very important aspect, because artificially we'll not be able to control our senses. But then when we advance in spiritual life, automatically the senses will get controlled. The food intake automatically reduces. And the person doesn't feel like, because he's completely satisfied. The sleep reduces. I know some devotees who sleep only for 2 hours, 3 hours every day. Every day. They don't sleep in the daytime also. One devotee, I forgot his name. And he's from outside India. He sleeps for 15 minutes every day, like this, on the bench. I don't know what their health is going through, but then, you know, this is what, you know, they are into. It's like one devotee sleeps once in 2 days, in 3 days. But this happens automatically when the devotee reaches a very high platform. So, you know, the person gets so much of higher taste that he does not waste, you know, sleeping. So that's what is the mood. But when it comes to us, you know, we need nice sleep. No problem. We have to sleep nicely, eat nicely, even on the day of Ekadashi. I mean non-grains, but we have to continue our devotional service. So here, uncontrolled senses can be controlled, you know, when a person gets higher taste. This is the point that I'm trying to make here. And here, now when it comes to Hiranyakashipu, now he is trying to torture his child like anything. Here he's convincing all the soldiers who are there to kill Prahlad that in whatever state this person is in, just kill him. And here, about the poison is given, administering poison to him while he was eating. So this Hiranyakashipu accomplished through his wife Kayadu. So we'll see in the future verses that the soldiers tried their best to kill, and then it was becoming very difficult. Then Hiranyakashipu, you know, he told Kayadu that you know, you prepare, you know, nice sweet rice, and then you put, you know, poison in that and give it to your son. And Kayadu was like, what are you saying? He's my son. How can I kill my own son? And Hiranyakashipu is like, you know, son comes later, husband comes first, you kill him. And Kayadu, you know, following, being a Pativrata Nari, she followed the instruction of her husband. And she prepared a nice sweet dish, you know, the milk sweet rice or something like that. And then she put poison on that and she gave it to Prahlad. Now, the intensity which Prahlad had in devotional service, the fire which was there, the fire of devotion which was there in the heart of Prahlad was so intense that it burned the poison also. How? So Prahlad saw that sweet rice and, you know, poison. And then I was hearing in one of the plays that Kayadu was trying to, you know, give indication that don't eat, poison is there, don't eat, poison is there. But Prahlad was busy looking at sweet rice and all that sweet made up of milk, and then the poison, the black color poison on that. The only thing that he could see was Shantakaram Bhujragashayanam Padmanabha Suresham. He could only see the beautiful personality, Lord Vishnu, you know, the black colored poison which was there. He was looking at that and he was like, this is my Lord. And the white colored sweet which was there, oh, this is milk ocean, you know, which is there. Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam. So he's sleeping, you know, my Lord is sleeping on the beautiful bedstead, you know, of Anantashesh, the white color one, and, you know, the milk around. So this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, all the time thinking about the Lord, all the time. Even poison. No, he was looking at poison and he was thinking about Lord Krishna. Very high level, but still we have to, you know, hear about this. You know, very, very important. So this is what is told. You know, so Hiranyakashipu tried and he badly failed. And, you know, he ate very nicely. Prahlad Maharaj ate a very nice sweet rice. He ate and nothing happened to him. Nothing happened to him. Let's see now what happened next. The demons. Okay, so it's already 8. So we are entering next section where Prahlad Maharaj is being tortured by the Rakshasas. Okay, we'll take it for another 10 minutes. We'll discuss the demons, the Rakshasas, the servants of Hiranyakashipu. Thus began striking the tender parts of Prahlad Maharaj's body with their tridents. The demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth, reddish coppery beard and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, chop him up, pierce him. They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a very, very, very touching verse, where we see Prahlad Maharaj's intense devotional mood. And all the verses after this, now they are showing Prahlad Maharaj's dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 5-year-old boy. So if you just, whenever we're talking about Prahlad, just imagine a 5-year-old boy. All the ones, all the parents who have kids, just imagine about your child when he was 5 years old. Now, when the child sees, say some horrifying personality on the TV, now the child gets scared. And here, they were demons. Proper demons were there. And Prahlad was a very, very nice, beautiful, innocent child in that particular assembly. And all of them, they are having tridents in the hand and sharp weapons in the hand. And they all are trying to kill Prahlad. Initially, they started shouting, kill him, chop him, kill him, chop him. See, they knew very well that he's Rajaputra, so they did not want to actually kill. So they thought, okay, you know, let's shout, and this person will say, no, no, I'll behave the way my father wants. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And at that time, Prahlad Maharaj, when they were all shouting, the only thing Prahlad Maharaj was doing was, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The only thing that he was doing was only chanting the holy names of the Lord and taking Sakshat Darshan of the Lord in his intense meditation. So when he was intensely meditating on the Lord, how does that really matter what is happening around? He was completely immersed. And all of them, they're trying hard, you know, to kill this person. Nothing is happening. Lord protects. Lord protects in every situation when it comes to devotees. Srila Haridas Thakur, he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. I hope all of us remember Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy names of the Lord. His tongue was uncontrolled. Not like ours. For us, it's like eating prasadam, it's uncontrolled. For him, chanting the holy names, it was uncontrolled. He was not able to control his tongue at all. Continuously chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare. Vibrating, the tongue was vibrating. And the king was like, you are belonging to our faith. Why are you following what Hindus are doing? No, and he's like, and Haridas Thakur is like, I don't know, I'm not able to stop. And when it comes to us, I don't know, I'm not able to start, Prabhuji. It was very difficult, I'm not able to start. But Haridas Thakur was like, I'm not able to stop, and was continuously chanting and chanting and chanting. And the king ordered, like Hiranyakashipu ordered his soldiers, the king ordered his soldiers that kill this person. And then Haridas Thakur was taken to 22 marketplaces. He was beaten black and blue. He was badly beaten, with huge sticks and so many sharp things. He was beaten like anything. And why in marketplace? So that he gets insulted in front of everyone. So physically he'll get wounded, psychologically he'll get wounded. That was the mood. That was the purpose why he was told that he should be beaten 22 marketplaces. And when this was happening, Haridas Thakur was busy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Completely immersed, and he's thinking about the Lord. And these people are beating him, beating him, beating him. And what is happening? The ones who are beating, they are getting tired. They started praying to Haridas Thakur, why are you not dying? If you don't die, we have to die. Now the king will kill us. And Haridas Thakur was like, oh, that is the case. I'm troubling all of y'all. Okay, I'll die. And he died. He went into trance and the bodily symptoms stopped. There was no bodily symptom of life. No, it stopped. So this pastime was narrated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mahaprakash Leela. So that was we have never discussed Mahaprakash Leela in our Nityam Bhagavatas. We'll discuss someday. It's long time I've not spoken about Sridhar Kola, which I will speak about him also. So, in this Mahaprakash Leela, where Lord Gauranga was giving mercy to everyone, it was wholesale. That day it was sale. Whatever devotees want, Mahaprabhu was just giving. So, a devotee says, I want to see the beautiful form of Shyamasundar. And immediately, Lord will transform himself in the beautiful form of Krishna. And will be standing with threefold bending forms of the flute in the hand. And the devotee would be relishing the darshan of the Lord. So, like this, many, many devotees came and many, many devotees got his desires fulfilled. Haridas Thakur was called. And at that time, Gauranga, he asked Haridas Thakur, you were beaten in those marketplaces. And Haridas Thakur was like, yeah, I was beaten. But I didn't get any hurt. And then Mahaprabhu was like, you know why? Why you were not affected at that time? Why you didn't get hurt? And at that time, in front of the entire assembly, Lord turned and lifted, his uttari. And behind were sharp marks of various sticks and sharp weapons which were used in order to kill Haridas Thakur. And at that time, Lord Gauranga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who descended all the way from Goloka Vrindavan to deliver the fallen people in this age of Kali, he told that when you were taking beatings and since you were calling out for me, I was embracing you from behind, and all those beatings I took, O Haridas Thakur, I took on my back. And he showed the back. The entire assembly of devotees, including Haridas Thakur, they were crying and weeping and weeping and weeping, looking at the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Gauranga. This is the mercy of the Lord. This is the mercy. Where all the time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ready to protect all of us. He's ready to protect. In fact, at times, you know, we might not know also that we have been protected by the Lord at times. Like Haridas Thakur didn't know, you know, that he was personally protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even in our life, even in our life, in our day-to-day activities, maybe, you know, maybe something very, very, you know, great, dangerous thing, you know, should have happened. But then Lord has just, you know, saved us from that. And that goes unnoticed, completely unnoticed. We don't notice also, you know, what Lord is doing for us in our life. But then, you know, whenever things go crazy in our life, then we start questioning, why me? Why me? Yes. So the point is that we have to learn from these devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, then Haridas Thakur, you know, Amrish Maharaj. All of them have set an example that when we depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, He saves us. He protects us. And when we say, when we talk about saving and protecting us, obviously we are not talking just about the physical, you know, saving the physical body. We're talking about saving and, you know, protecting our devotional service as well. That's what devotees aspire for. Theek hai, na, body gaya to gaya, anyways is going to mix in oblivion. It's going to mix with the Pancha Mahabhuta, earth, water, fire, air, ether. This body is anyways temporary, flickering. But then, what is really important in our life is bhakti. And devotees aspire for that. They pray for this. That, oh Lord, please protect my bhakti. This bhakti lata bee is very, very tender. You know, and then it's somehow growing. You know, little bit chanting, little bit hearing, some water I'm putting. And it is growing. But then, you know, my mind is so fickle that, you know, I'm not able to control my mind. It's very difficult. You, O Lord, you, no, please protect. No, you, please protect. Tumhere Shikesha Rishikadamiya. So there's a very nice line, you know, which Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying. That Tumhe Rishikesh, your name is Rishikesh. And Rishikadamiya, so all these senses, you know, whose mind is the king, or the mind is the leader. Rishikadamiya, you control all of them. I'm not going to do all that. You do it. You do it. So devotees' prayers are unique. So they, it cannot be understood by common public in general. Yes, a devotee offers unique prayers, you know, saying that, no, you control my senses. I don't want anything. I just want you. I want to do your bhakti. Lifetime after lifetime. Mama janmani janmani shware bhavatad bhaktir. And what sort of bhakti? Ahitu ki bhakti. Unmotivated bhakti. I don't want anything from you, Lord. I don't want anything. What I want to do is, I just want to serve you. Every single moment. This is what I want to do. And I want to chant your holy names every single moment. But then, you know, I'm not able to do. So, I beg from you this benediction, that please help me. In this way, please protect me. You know, please protect my bhakti. So devotees are more interested, you know, to take protection from the Lord when it comes to protecting their bhakti. Or, you know, getting or, you know, advancing on the path of bhakti. You know, physically, protection, etc., etc., anyways, it will happen. The Lord will do. Because Lord has no option, right? The most, you know, in Hindi we say bichara. So Lord is very, very bichara. He's not able to, you know, he cannot do, he's helpless basically. He's helpless. Now devotees are in need and the Lord is there personally, you know, to help that person. Now, similar lines we're going to discuss now from next Tuesday onwards. So here, this is the first loka, you know, where we see that Prahlad Maharaj is meditating on the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And all these demonic people who are shouting and yelling and crying out and, you know, trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is not at all affected. And those sharp weapons, when they're coming on the body of Prahlad, you know, it is almost like soft flowers are thrown on the body of Prahlad. This was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prahlad Maharaj was not at all affected. Not at all affected. On similar, in the similar section, we'll see a lot of examples of dependence on the Lord. And how can we enhance our faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And how can we really grow on the path of bhakti? And how can, you know, we become intense in our devotional service? Like, I shouldn't say like, no, following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. And like cannot happen. We cannot become like Prahlad Maharaj. But following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. So with this, I would like to pause. So please go ahead and ask questions and please share your reflections from today's session.